scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all. Aguilla, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, what's going on? It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk, and welcome for the first time this season to the Scotiabank Saddledome. We're here! We're here in the Hot Stove Lounge, and that must mean that it is the unofficial kickoff to the 24-25 season. On this Tuesday, September 10th, the annual Calgary Flames Charity Golf Classic was held and is just starting to wrap up. And hey, you know what? Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Tuesday. That means the season is here, my friend. That means that we are starting to get into season mode in early September.
Tell me about the renovations here in the Hot Stove.
At the Hot Stove Lounge?
Did somebody run a vacuum?
No. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I was kidding.
What's a vacuum? I think maybe we could try Windexing the tables.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
The TV still works.
Yeah.
Everything actually worked. We didn't have any. Like, I would say I was 90% certain I would come down here. I got here a little early.
Mm-hmm.
I was 90% certain that I would have to go run upstairs and run some wires and run some cords. You know, as we know, Scotia Place, the new building, is being dug and pre-construction is underway, kind of right beside here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. So we can now talk about how antiquated the equipment and the wiring and the electronics are here in this 50-year-old building. So I was anticipating having to run upstairs and get underneath and fight with some dust and some potential mice, and do some patching.
Jeez,
we're really
taking our licks at the Saddledome all of a sudden.
Just our spot upstairs, that's all.
Okay.
I love this place, and I'm going to be sad when it's gone, but I was happy that we didn't have to do any of that. We just turned it on, and we were ready to rock.
We sound good.
I think we sound, well, as good as we can sound, I think we sound.
Yeah.
Let's recap all of kind of the news that we've seen or heard about on this Tuesday. So Craig Conroy spoke at Country Hills just ahead of teeing off at the Charity Golf Classic. As you can tell, Steinberg a little under the weather, so I did not head up there, but many did, and Craig Conroy announced a few things, starting with the signing of Jared Tenorti. So Tenorti, veteran defenseman, signs a one-year, two-way contract with the Calgary Flames on this Tuesday at $800,000 on the average annual value. Here is the general manager on the newest member of the Calgary Flames.
We're looking for quality players, and we have a lot of young guys, and he brings he's been in either a captain or assistant captain so many places, and I've heard nothing but great things. So to bring in a player that can, push and kind of bring what we're trying to build here, that culture, that attitude, we think it was something we were able to do, and he picked us, so, he had other choices. So, that was it was a good feeling.
So I think we all understand the reasoning for a signing like Tenorti. He is a veteran. He's 32 years old. He has, more than 200 NHL games under his belt, played 52 with the Chicago Blackhawks last season, which actually was the most he's ever played in a single season in the NHL. It was the closest to a full-on regular spot that Tenorti has had to this point, going back almost 15 years now, when he was a first-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens at number 22 overall. But veteran, I think maybe the most important part about Tenorti is that he is a left shot, which is something that they maybe don't have a ton of when it comes to especially those depth options and maybe rounding things out with left and right shots. So, you understand the reasoning behind it. More than anything else, they're looking for good veterans. They're looking for some depth. They're looking for some guys to insulate if young players aren't ready. They're looking for some depth to maybe push some of those young players. And at worst, a player like Tenorti on a two-way deal is some really nice veteran depth in the American League if that's the way it ends up going.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's possible that a bunch of people probably saw the signing today and thought, geez, another third-pairing candidate, another depth defenseman. And I do understand that sort of reaction to it. And yet at the same time, this becomes very low risk in the sense that it's a two-way contract. It's a guy that you know you can trust to log some minutes at the NHL level. You also know, because he's been a captain in the American Hockey League before, if he winds up with the Wranglers,
yep,
he's going to be a great example. And really, you know, I sort of expect him to spend at least some of his time with the Wranglers. Again, we've talked about this with Tyson Barrie, and his PTO was made official today. We've talked about it even with the waiver claim on Joel Hanley going back to the end of last season. These aren't the guys that are going to get in the way of a Zane Parekh or a Hunter Buštević. They're simply there as, I guess, a stopgap until those guys are ready. And the other thing, you know, you did a good job of listing off some of the assets that Jared Tenorti can bring. You know, the one I'd add is some toughness. I do think this Flames team wants a little bit of an attitude. You know, they want to be a team that's going to be really competitive and have some snarl to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Tenorti brings that as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you talked to – now, I haven't spoken to Wilsey as of yet, but I know just the first thing I thought of was how highly Derek thought has spoken of Jared Tenorti,
right?
Going back to their time in the American Hockey League when Wilsey was – in Hamilton, and I know he's always spoken glowingly of Tenorti, so that was the first thing that I thought of was, oh, everything I've heard about Tenorti is good in the room. Everything that I've heard is like, this is like very similar to Tyson Barrie, who the Flames also officially announced on this Tuesday. Just a guy that's going to come in, wants to be here, wants to be a leader, wants to be part of a solution, and is very eyes wide open about the situation. I think, and you and I talked about this on the phone a little earlier, If he ends up being Mark Pesek and he's just a good vet in the American League, that's awesome. That's a great signing. But if he ends up beating out a Joel Hanley or a Braden Pahal or whoever the case may be and ends up playing 65 games and is a regular on Calgary's third pairing because, you know, nobody else, nobody younger was quite ready, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that either. So, and again, a lot, if you take a look at the additions that Craig Conroy has made here since July 1. You take a look at the four signings on July 1st. You talk about Lomberg. You talk about Cooley. You talk about Bean. Even Anthony Mantha, who I know there's a lot of talk about potentially trading here. But all of these guys, now you throw in Barrie and you throw in Tenorti, quality character dudes trying to build a culture as you are starting from the ground floor on something here. So that's kind of what struck me the most when I saw the Tenorti news earlier on Tuesday.
Yeah, the other thing that I'll add is that I think Jared Tenorti's story, I think his background can be valuable in itself. This is a guy who was a first-round selection of the Montreal Canadiens back in 2010, and yet, as a guy who arrived in the league with first-round pedigree, has played 205 games so far. This is a guy who played a career-high 50-some games last season for the Chicago Blackhawks. And so this is a guy, and I spoke to him earlier today, and it was one of the things he mentioned. You know, this didn't come easy to him, right? This wasn't the smooth first-round transition, I'm going to be a fixture on the blue line for the next decade type of story. And I do think there is some value in having a guy like that. I think, you know, if you have a Jeremy Poirier or a Hunter Buštević or whoever who's trying to sort of understanding they're certainly not the same type of player as Jared Tenorti, but as they go through the transition to pro hockey or the transition eventually to the NHL, I think there's some lessons that Jared Tenorti can pass on. You know, when I spoke to him earlier today, one of the things he said to me is there were guys early in my career in Montreal that I watched and learned a lot from just watching. They might have never said anything, but I just watched them. And I think this is a guy, whether it's in a 6-7 defense role with the Flames or whether it's as a veteran presence with the Wranglers, this is one of those guys that a young player can watch. And so while it's not maybe obvious where he fits today, there's just no downside. It's a cheap contract. It's a one-year contract. It's a guy who arrives with a really good... Yeah. Like, if he winds up watching a bunch of hockey, so be it.
And the thing that you said that I think is important to reiterate, because, you know, there's some regular texters that we have, our buddy Mick, a few others that, you know, when some of these veteran guys have been added, they're like, well, what's going on here? Why adding veterans? We want to be young this year. None of these players are blocking young players. Devin Cooley being signed isn't blocking Dustin Wolf. It's an open competition. And Tenorti and Bean and Barry being added to the fold. Obviously, Barry on a PTO, so we don't even know if that's going to turn into a contract. These guys aren't blocking young players, and the forwards aren't blocking young players. If guys prove in camp in the preseason or even as the year goes along that they need to be at the highest level, I really fully believe that Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska will put these guys in the lineup and on the roster because they understand that this is starting on the ground floor of something. So any one of these contracts or additions since July 1st have been 2 years at most, have been risk-free, and have been guys that all fit a mold of wanting to be here and wanting to be a part of the solution. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And honestly, that's why I keep saying risk-free. I can't find a negative on that.
Well, I think you would have done a lot of research as well if you're Craig Conroy and the staff here at the Saddle Dome on sort of how Jared Tenorti handled himself in Chicago the last couple of years. You know, that's a team that has taken its lumps against most other teams except for the Flames. And so you know that he's a guy who is going to handle that properly, who is going to set the right culture. I think it's telling that when the Chicago Blackhawks a season and change ago needed someone to wear an A for a few games, they put it on his jersey. Like, this is a guy who is looked at as an established leader and looked at as a guy who's not, you know, not going to let his team get walked all over. And hey, I get it. I don't see, you know, that was my first reaction too. I didn't necessarily see, you know, he doesn't fit the starting six for me. And yet, yeah, there's no downside here. You know,
if he ends up being your seven this year, okay.
Yeah.
He's ever since Michael Stone decided to retire, they've been looking for their next Michael Stone, have they not? The guy that can comfortably sit for however long it ends up being and then jump right back into the lineup and be fully okay with that role. How many times did you or I talk to Stoner and he would say, I know what my role is. I know, like, at no point did Michael Stone have misconceptions of what's going on. That didn't mean that he didn't believe he could play. That didn't mean that he didn't believe he was capable of more, and he showed that damn well every time he got into the lineup. But having that guy, that awesome guy in the room, leader, and somebody that you as the coaching staff knows that if they're called upon, it's not going to be an absolute disaster because he hasn't played in 7 or 8 games. If that ends up being what Tenorti is, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, yeah. And just to reiterate, we're not talking, you know, when Zane Parekh or when Hunter Brustevich or when Jeremy Poirier or Artem Grushnikov, when those guys are ready, they're not sitting and watching Jared Tenorti. We know that.
Yep.
So, hey, you got a crowded blue line, right? And in Tenorti and Joel Hanley, you kind of have two obvious sevens now. One of those guys is probably going to end up either playing in the minors, going on waivers, whatever it looks like. But, you know, we've heard, and I know Ryan Huska told the boys on the morning show, you know, he wants a competitive camp.
Yep.
And Tenorti's going to be one of those guys who helps make that happen.
Here's the general manager, by the way. We've known about, I think it was a week ago, that Frank Saravalli was on with us and broke the news of Tyson Berry's PTO a week later. And obviously understanding that there's been a tragedy the organization's been dealing with here for the last 10, 11 days. So a lot of news has been put on the back burner, understandably and rightfully so. But the Flames also announced the Tyson Berry PTO, and Craig Conroy spoke about that on Tuesday morning as well.
High character, quality person, you know, over 500 points in the NHL, and you know, I've kind of been in his shoes where maybe it hasn't gone well for a team, and it's hard to pinpoint why, but I mean, he's very focused, he's ready to go, he wants to come here and take a job. I mean, that's his goal too. So, you know, the one thing, again, another high quality individual that you know, that's the thing when you're doing your homework, you're trying to find out what's the person like as much as the player, and I've heard nothing but great things about both guys.
Few texts for you at 960-960. This says, I agree, Patty. I love these signings, Berry and Tenorti. Why rush the kids? They're going to be not so good this year, which is what we need, but let's be that way with good character players so when these kids get called up, they won't develop losing habits. Look at Buffalo. Losing is in that organization's DNA, and we don't want that, which I think is a good point. Now, I did have to edit a little bit of that text. There were some words I can't use, but I think maybe you could hear where I was doing editing on the fly. But I think the point of that is, and that's exactly what Craig Conroy is trying to do. And I know conversations I've had with the GM recently, listening to him, and we'll hear him on this in a little bit. But yeah, they don't want to breed a losing atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So veterans like this are important. In fact, Cam, skip ahead to that fourth clip. Let's play that here, and then we'll jump back on Pelche at the end. But that's exactly what the message is. When we were speaking on Monday's Flames Talk, this was kind of what we were talking about. One of the big messages the Flames are really wanting to drive home this year is this is not a losing is okay atmosphere. This is not an atmosphere where we just want to be young and you're in the lineup because you're under the age of 25. We want to have good veterans that insulate the younger players, that can help set a culture. Like, they want to have, Craig Conroy wants Nazem Kadri and Blake Coleman and Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar and Michael Backlund and Rasmus Anderson. He wants these guys to be important parts of building a culture that can be lasting for the long term when this team does, hopefully in 3-4 years, return to much more prominence. And Craig Conroy kind of laid that down. We telegraphed it for you on Monday's show, and the GM talked about it on Tuesday.
You know, the one thing I wanted to point out was we have great veterans here, and we do have some young guys, and we're going to be a team. You know, we're going to need everyone to take their game up another level and compete every night. I mean, we want to compete. We want to battle and play. And, you know, I wouldn't expect anything else. I mean, I've never played in one NHL game where, you know, I was going into that game to win. And at least I believe this team, with the veteran leadership we have, with the young guys we have coming, and you know, there's some question marks, but I think when you talk to the goalies, they all see this as a great opportunity. They want to take this job. You know, all three of them want to believe, hey, I'm going to show you guys in camp, and I'm going to show you in the regular season. So, you know, I think when you have that kind of attitude, talking to the veteran guys, you know, they want to get off to a good start. Obviously, there was a lot of the last couple years, you know, there was a lot of negativity coming in here. Everybody I talk to is so positive right now, from Bax to Coleman, Kadri. You know, everybody just has a real feeling, hey, you know what, it's kind of us against them. And I like when we're the underdogs and people maybe take us lightly, and we're going to get off the good start, and it's going to be a competitive camp.
Few other texts. This one from Dustin in Calgary. Big fan of bringing both these guys in. Not only does it ensure that younger players are truly earning their time when ready, but it provides some insulation for Wolf and Cooley as well. The last thing you want to do in a growth year is roll those young goalies out there with guys in front of them that aren't prepared for the grind of 82. And I think that you know, I bet you Jordan Sigalette and Jason LaBarbera would be the first ones to agree with that as well. You know, you don't want to have your goalies in a spot where they're being constantly shelled. To have them insulated a little bit is going to be huge for development and huge for their success this year.
Yeah, absolutely. This team intends to be competitive. Now, does that mean that they're going to be competing for a playoff spot? They'd certainly hope so. They understand that nobody's going to be picking them for that. But it also just means being in a bunch of one-goal hockey games. It means sort of putting your young players through those moments and those pressure situations and what they mean. You know, I know it's one thing to look at it as a fan and say, well, you know, I want them to have the first overall pick and I'm fine if they lose 60 games and they lose them all 5-1. Hey, I'm not saying fans can't hope for the first overall pick, but that's not the roadmap that the organization can take. That's not a roadmap that any organization can embrace.
Yep.
And so you're going to see moves like this that are intended to keep them competitive in the short term until what they believe can be a really bright future. This isn't going out and signing Kevin Shattenkirk to a 5-year deal.
There's not one of these deals that is longer than 2 years.
Yeah, and so...
And both of the guys who signed twos are under the... Or all three of them, rather, are under the age of 30.
Right, and so... It's very low risk.
Everything is low risk with potential for upside and reward, right? Finally, still three RFAs unsigned. And again, I think it's important to point out that a lot of things were put on pause for a good week here with the morning and just the overall situation with the Gaudreaus and that family and all that the hockey world's been going through. A lot of business has been put on hold and just has been moved to the back burner, and rightfully so. But Ilya Solovyov, Cole Schwindt, and Jacob Pelche remain unsigned a little more than a week ahead of training camp. But no worries from the general manager. We talked a little bit about this on Monday, and Craig Conroy gave a bit of an update today as well.
You know, we're still negotiating. It's never as quick as you'd like, but I get that. You know, he's got some ideas where he's at, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get it done. We're getting closer.
Just on Pelche, would you expect him in camp if a deal isn't signed, or would that be?
I expect him. You know, I've been talking to the agent. I think Pelche'll be here, and then we're going to get something done. It's just, you know, it just takes a little time, and I think, unfortunately, with everything that went on this week, other things took priority, and then we'll, you know, we're back now. We're ready. The golf tournament's a great way to kick it off, and then, you know, we still have some business to tidy up for sure.
So that's the GM on the Jacob Pelche situation. Again, based on what I know, there's not really any worry on either side that something's not going to get done. And I do believe that the players' camp understands the importance of not missing time. Now, this is a huge year for Pelche after how disastrous last year was for him. Not fully even of his own doing. So the injuries were what it was, but this is a huge year for Jacob Pelche.
Sure.
So he knows, the camp knows, they need to get something done. And if they do have to end up seeding a little bit of ground they might be dug in on, so be it. I think this will get done before training camp. It'll be silly on their part if it isn't.
I just think it should be reiterated, and we've said it before, Jacob Pelche was right where he needs to be today, and that was at the Calgary Flames charity golf tournament. You know, Jacob Pelche is not sitting at home in Quebec City stomping his feet over his contract demands. I'll be absolutely gobsmacked if this isn't done by the first day of camp.
Yep.
And I feel the same way about Cole Schwindt and Ilya Solovyov. I mean, these are young guys who are at the point in their career where missing camp sessions just makes no sense. Now, that gives Craig Conroy leverage in these negotiations, and I'm sure he's trying to use it. That's what you do in contract negotiations. But I really can't imagine a scenario where all three of those guys aren't on the ice for day one.
Agreed. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg. This hour of Flames talk is underway, and from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu, now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2-quarter-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors, sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onions, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy, delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Tuesday, which means we now say hello to our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli. He is back for another year on Flames Talk, and he's back for another year brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com. Steinberg along with you, and now our NHL insider from Daily Faceoff and dailyfaceoff.com, Frank Saravalli, joins us as he will do all season long Tuesdays on Flames Talk. Mr. Saravalli, happy Tuesday, pal. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It's kind of season kickoff time around here. The Flames had their annual charity golf classic on Tuesday morning, which is kind of always the unofficial kickoff or official kickoff, depending on how you look at it, to the season. Craig Conroy spoke to the media. The GM talked about a number of different things. They signed Jared Tenorti. They officially announced the PTO that you broke a week ago in Tyson Berry and a few other things. But One of the things that I think is going to be a big theme for this team throughout training camp is the idea of how they want to retool or rebuild this team, and how important the veterans from Nazem Kadri, Blake Coleman, Michael Backlund, and more are going to be. And I know there's a lot of talk about player A or veteran B being traded here between now and the trade deadline, but at least going into the season and to start the year, Craig Conroy's message is really big on how important those veterans are going to be. I'm curious as to your read on how this mix might work throughout the year, and how the veterans on this team and their futures could evolve as the year goes along.
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but if I were to walk into Flames training camp when it opens 8 or 9 days from now, and you were to ask me to step outside of the Dome or Winsport or wherever it is and say, sum up for me what the Flames are looking for this season, or a buzzword, give me one word to describe the whole thing, it's really simple to boil down that answer. Compete. Those are the 7 letters I'd write on a giant poster. Just compete. That's it. And they want an honest to goodness effort. I think everyone is realistic in what the talent level and or disparity may be, but there's tons of opportunity for young players to grab bigger roles. And they needed, if we're all being honest, a better veteran mix to make that environment more conducive to growth. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that it feels like at varying points over the last 18 months, there has been, it's not toxicity, but I think there's been a bit of a hangover from really going back a couple years to the Battle of Alberta and how quickly things changed, and how this team that was ready to compete, there's that word again, for a division crown and a Stanley Cup, has to suddenly readjust expectations and their sights on everything else. It's not easy to make that transition. And when you have guys that signed long-term big-ticket deals, and I'm not singling anyone out in particular, with the notion or idea of continuing to compete, and then that timetable in which you're going to be able to do so has changed, it's not, that's not, you don't just snap your fingers and that happens.
Yep.
So I think everyone is trying to, they've had time now to wrap their brains around it. And in the meantime, they want to better position this team to be able to find that growth. I think that's the best way to explain it.
That's not to say that as the season goes along, and you know, if Nazem Kadri is coming off the second best season of his NHL career last year, or Blake Coleman, who I think would be a fit on 31 other NHL teams and would be an instant fit anywhere, specifically on a team looking to compete for a Stanley Cup, and any of the other veterans that you might look at. If a team comes calling and if there's genuine interest there, well, then, yeah, I think the Flames would be open to making some trades. But it doesn't feel like Craig Conroy, at least for the time being, is going to be out looking to actively shop some of these guys. And I guess it kind of goes back to that whole theme that you're talking about right there, compete. And that C word is something that's going to be central right from the start of this year's camp.
Well, that's the thing. I do believe that Craig Conroy and his front office team are open to just about anything. They're willing to shake things up. I think there's a small list of untouchable players. And by the way, if you're looking for a little sneak preview into my preseason coverage, if I have a list of 10 breakout candidates, Connor Zary is going to be on the list. Like, there's a short list of guys that that the Flames are absolutely hanging on to. And outside of that, they're going to be ready to make things happen should that require it. But at the same time, they don't have any interest in leaving this team vulnerable to getting shelled every night. This is not going to be a tear it down. We've said a million times, this is not going to be a tear it down to the studs rebuild.
Yep. Last one on the Flames, and I think that the guy that is maybe most interesting because of the remaining veterans on this team, he's the youngest, probably has the most cachet trade-wise, but also is the guy that of all of them would be the most sensible and would make the most sense to sign to a long-term extension. Do you have any feel on where things might go with Rasmus Anderson? Is it too early to be talking about that in your mind? I'm just curious your read on that situation, if you've got one.
I think it's just premature. I think it's logical to have the discussion. I think it's probably even likely to be one that continues to grow as the year goes on. But in the here and now, unless something has taken place that I don't know about, which is always possible, I don't think that they've engaged in any substantive discussions that would see him playing elsewhere. And frankly, the same goes for Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau, since I did see some reporting out there at some point.
Yeah. That's why I thought I'd bring this all up, because we've also seen that. But it's kind of counter to what we're hearing from the team, which is always part of the dance. But wanted to start there with the Flames, and I appreciate you indulging. It's Frank Saravalli with us, our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us Tuesdays on Flames Talk. Okay, let's bounce around the NHL. I know there's been some coverage over at DFO on this. What is your read on Sidney Crosby and what his future looks like in Pittsburgh entering the final year of a deal?
Yeah, so he's never set foot on the ice for training camp without having his next deal already in place. He's never played out the final year of a deal, and rightfully so. I don't anticipate that changing. I don't think anything's changed in his thought process in terms of whether or not he wants to finish his career as a Pittsburgh Penguin. I know there's been untold hours of speculation of, you know, really just, hey, would he look good in L.A. or Montreal or pick a place? It's not going to happen, at least according to the people that I know and trust. And I think the big thing that they've gone back and forth on, to my understanding, has been term. It's hard to believe now, but this is season 20 for Sidney Crosby in the NHL. And I think there's a valid question to ask of, and a fair question to ask of, how long do you want to play? the passion for the game is still there. 12th in league scoring, second best goal scoring career of season of his career. There's plenty of game left, but that also doesn't necessarily mean that you want to sign a 4-year contract. So I think they've gone back and forth on a few different models, and we'll soon see what they land on and what that notion is of how long he wants to continue to play. I don't think there's anything wrong with going year by year. I just think the team would probably prefer, if possible, to get a multi-year deal done in an effort to maybe potentially push the AAV down just a little bit. But for me, I think Sidney Crosby's earned the right to do whatever he wants in terms of that term and contract.
The question is, and maybe the most important question is, does this contract in some way work in the number 87? Because like that to me is more important than anything else. Is it still an 8.7 AAV, or is it like 10 million and then 87 at the end? That to me is the most important thing we need to figure out.
Look, I think it'd be an insult if Sidney Crosby's contract starts with an 8. Not just for what he's accomplished, but also at the level of play that he's still at. I was spitballing early in the summer that I think something like 3 years and $30 million sounds fair, 3 times 10. Maybe they attach the 87 at the end of it. I don't, whatever works for Sid, but I think that's a real reasonable starting point.
Yep. I mean, and as we saw, the guy's still one of the best players on the planet, so nothing wrong with those ballpark projections at all. And we'll finish off maybe in Toronto, because I thought it was really interesting to see. We saw Nick Robertson and the Maple Leafs kind of finish off their contract set to on this Tuesday, but as you tweeted out earlier, not necessarily a guarantee that we'll be talking about a long-term Toronto Nick Robertson marriage here. That could still be something that is destined for another spot for Nick, hey?
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a cat and mouse game. I think the Leafs have been trying to, I guess, placate isn't necessarily the right word, but trying to solve for this problem, in the sense that Robertson clearly wants more opportunity potentially than what's available to him. He had a standing trade request for a long time. To my knowledge, with the signing of this new 1-year deal at $875K, that doesn't mean that request has been rescinded. And in fact, sources indicated earlier today that really there was a few teams that were interested, that were tight up against the cap, that really wanted to try and get their hands on Robertson, but didn't want to do so as an RFA, where there could also potentially be another offer sheet possibility. And so this takes that off the table, and now the Leafs can either hang on to him at a price that's really reasonable given his production, or he can get traded and go somewhere else. And I think the scale is still leaning towards more likely than not that he ends up getting moved, because they've got some things to figure out in order to bring in Max Pacioretty and to finally register that contract with Yanni Hakanpää that was agreed to way back on July 1.
Yeah. So Pacioretty, that was what I was going to ask you next. Pacioretty, that you see that being basically an inevitable thing?
Yeah, I think they're going to announce in the near term that he's signing a PTO. And I think the expectation is that once they get to the other end of camp, that they will sign him to a contract that's a 1-year deal. And what that looks like, who knows?
Okay. Finally, anything else that we should be kind of keeping our eye on here, Frank? Anything else that is bubbling, or anything else that you're working on that maybe might come to fruition here in the next few days as we get training camps going in the next week and a bit?
Just the usual UFA, RFA sightings between now and training camp. Like, there's still 3 to 4 players that are on the prowl for deals as UFAs. We just hit on Pacioretty, but James Van Riemsdyk is another one. Yeah, I would say Justin Schultz is one. Probably throw Kevin Shattenkirk and Tony DeAngelo into that mix. And then on top of that, the RFAs. What about the two guys in Detroit, Raymond and Sider? What about Jeremy Swayman? I think they've made some progress there. And you're keeping in mind all those things as you get close to camp's opening 8 days from now.
Good stuff as always, my man. Appreciate the time. We will talk to you next week. Thank you, Frank.
Have a good one, Pat. See ya.
Frank Saravalli is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us Tuesdays on Flames Talk, and he's back for another year, brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com.